I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 21. The 1972 through 1976, same car. We're in the same car for 4 years in NASCAR.
NASCAR? No, why?
1972, 1976. Right. The good old days. Yeah, right?
Fair enough.
We're not talking, right. We're talking when guys had to really engineer cars.
Yeah.
All right. Number 21, Purolator, Wood Brothers, Mercury Montegro. Mercury Montegro. It's a classic. It's 100%. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
That is just one giant piece of iron.
Yeah.
Imagine that thing moving.
I know.
No restrictor plate on that.
No.
Nope. That thing's going 200 and something.
Not that they don't engineer cars nowadays. No. But it's very different.
Bet you that was good on the road course at Riverside.
Yeah.
Took a man to drive that. quite the car. Won 42 times, and they won the Triple Crown in 76. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Anyways, all right, moving on. All right, on tonight's episode, we'll discuss Memorial Day weekend of racing. Sort of.
There was enough racing that went on.
In the lower formulas. In some series.
Okay.
We'll talk NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
The Coke. 600?
300?
I don't know.
Is that where they got to?
Yeah, I don't know what they got to. It was pre-Larson.
Yeah.
We'll talk Formula One. Briefly, we'll talk IndyCar and a fantastic Indianapolis 500.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say fantastic. I'm not going to say it was the greatest of all time.
It was a good race.
Yeah.
That's why I said a fantastic race.
I just don't think it was the greatest race of all time, especially the way it started. Then we'll talk some news and notes.
Yeah.
Plenty of news, plenty of notes. Yeah. All right. But first, let's salute two people. One, Fred Vasseur. Birthday. Happy birthday, Fred. Two, Kyle Larson, for being the reason that the Indy 500 actually got ratings this year. And I'm going on a limb, and I'm not saying it was Newgarden Award finished. No.
Mm-mm.
I will say maybe that because the race was later in the day, that might have had something to do with it too.
Yeah.
But America's number one racing star. Was there.
You can't deny it.
I'm not denying it. Anyways, good on Kyle. And good for his honesty yesterday. His kind of post duel, whatever. Mm-hmm. Debrief, you know. And he said he was disappointed. And he says, you know what, the weather sucks. And that's what really killed it.
Everything that went wrong.
Yeah, went wrong.
On that day
went
wrong.
Yep. So I hope to see Kyle. I personally hope to see Kyle back next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully what they'll do is they'll make a decision early enough where, you know, whatever his priority is going to be, that's instead of waiting until the last minute. I think they waited a little too long on this. They could have pulled the plug on the 500 and...
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same point, both races got weather affected.
Yeah, so, by the same rainstorm.
Yeah, so, I mean, the better move for both of them would have been to just postpone both races to Monday.
Or They could have moved the 500 up to Saturday.
They could have done that as well.
Because the weather on Saturday. And that's something I think they need to really explore. Because, honestly, sitting around for whatever it was, 4 hours, mm-hmm. almost 4.5 hours of, you know, just nothing on the TV. I mean, I was like, great, we're going to watch a replay of last year's race. All right. There's got to be a better way. There has to be. If there's going to be this gap in the, you know, that the Saturday is going to be whatever it's going to be, that should be the alternate date. That's how they, when they go into that weekend, that's what it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's forward thinking. I mean, because the NASCAR race, the default is to go to Monday automatically. They can't run Saturday because that's the... Well, no, they've done this before with the other series. They've stacked them in the morning and then run at night, so...
Yeah, they have.
So NASCAR's a little more flexible about how they do things with their schedule.
Yeah.
All right, but I'd like to see IndyCar do the same thing, especially with that race. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, but... Yeah, it's like maybe not everyone's going to get there on Saturday, but most people are in town already, and... Mm-hmm. I think 90% of the people, well, a good chunk of the people there are camping.
Yeah.
And how many of those people really come from around the area? A lot, right, you would say? So if the word gets out on, say, Thursday that they're moving the race to Saturday, everyone can move their plans.
Well, and if they're going to do that, you're going to announce it a couple days early anyways.
Right. And I just feel that would allow... For somebody of Larson's nature or stature to compete in this, no issues, you know, and be focused on this. And it would attract more guys. Well, I'm not saying it's going to attract more guys, but a one-off guy wanting to do this, I don't know. I just think there needs to be a little bit more of that in there. I get it, but the other thing was with the TV ratings, they did lift the blackout ban in Indianapolis. Which I don't understand. That is, like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is prehistoric. I mean, that is just prehistoric. I mean, the community supports that race, and then they get banned on it? They get blacked out on it? I mean, come on.
Right.
All right. Anyways, let's go to NASCAR. I don't even know how many laps they ran.
Who hit who this time?
No one really hit anybody. The only thing that was going on was the 17 and of is that Christopher? No, who is that?
That's Buescher.
His pit crew and Hamlin's pit crew are getting into it. So there was one stop, and I saw the video of this. Hamlin's in the box. The right front tire changer for Hamlin's car just as Bush is coming into the pits. He fires the tire. But instead of firing it straight in front of Hamlin's car, he throws it at an angle. So the Hamlin guy has to reach into the Buescher pit. The right rear tire changer on the Buescher car vaults the tire. Good athletic move. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is that crap? And it was because Denny missed the box by a mile. Like, he was up front in the box. Well, the tire, you know what? Goes down there. It doesn't go across the front of the car. And then that started the whole thing. So Buescher came in. Every next few times they came in, they were pissed, and they just put the car at an angle and pissed Denny off. It was awesome.
Yeah.
He's such a, oh, God, just annoying. He is so annoying. He really is. Anyways, it's never his fault. It's unreal. But anyways, I digress. The usual, this tells you how long the race was. The usual half-hour highlight show, 12 minutes. It was literally 12 minutes. And honestly, that's all you had to watch in this thing because nothing happened. I mean, outside of that spat in the pit lane, there was a couple cars spinning out and stuff, things like that. But
yeah, but I mean,
it wasn't.
For majority of these races, you're just trying to make it to the finish. Like, that's half the battle with any race.
Right.
So, I mean, once you get to the end, then the typical green-white checker pops out and you have your crazy finish, you know?
Like, yeah, hold on.
It's not like we didn't artificially create it.
Going to get the lowdown here. On, they went 249 of the 400 laps.
All right.
And that 249 when they just as Larson arrived, like literally in the pit box, they threw the yellow for the rain.
Mm.
So they were going to make the driver change for get Allgaier out. Now, who's Bell on? Is he? Oh, he's on Gibbs. I thought Busch was the one that got whacked in the last race. Reddick got into him. So anyway, so Bell wins. Bad Brad finishes second in a rain short event. So we, give it to him. Byron third, Reddick fourth, Hamlin in a box of tissues for fifth. Ty Gibbs sixth, Chase Elliott seventh, Chastain eighth, ninth Bowman, and tenth was Josh Berry. Meanwhile, Josh Berry is looking for a ride. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst a few other guys. So that moves us into... so we have no word yet on if Larson is this ridiculous thing of that he was going to miss the race and they're going to take him out of the points thing, which is the dumbest thing.
Which,
anyways, don't even want to go. We don't have our NASCAR expert here to debate this because I'm all fired up to debate that.
No, but the only thing I will say is if the slogan of the championship is win and in for the playoffs,
that's it.
He's done that.
He's done that. So who cares?
What's the added rules?
I mean, Chase Elliott was out with a broken leg,
right?
And they gave him a waiver, and all he had to do, if he won a race, he was in.
Yeah,
and like so, I'm like it's not like this guy was, hungover.
No,
he was out trying to promote your sport and other parts of the sport.
Yeah.
And two of the biggest bigwigs in NASCAR ownership are at the same place in Indy, and you're going to tell them no?
I know.
Yeah. You can eat that one.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was unreal. Not good.
There's a couple noted NASCAR writer out there that's just like thinks he's God's gift to humanity. I won't get into it. Anyways, because I need Nate here for that. Anyway, so we're off to Chicago to Gateway, which is in Missouri, right?
I was going to say, that's not Chicago. That's Illinois, but it's not.
It's the Enjoy Illinois 300.
Yeah.
It's in Missouri.
It's on the border. I know.
It's just dumb. Anyways, so we're off there.
I know. It's not Chicago, though.
Next weekend. All right. Here we go. That's it for NASCAR. We won't do the points update because we don't know what's going to happen with Larson. So, anyways, all right, that was enough of that. Thank God that race was short. Formula One. I don't even want to start with this. Leclerc wins one pole. All you need to know is where the 10 drivers qualified is where the 10 drivers finished. The only controversy for the weekend. Well, there was two. One was pre. But post qualifying was the Haases were out of compliance with the rear wing with the DRS, so they were sent to the pit lane, to the back of the field essentially.
Yeah.
So that I don't think that impacted. Well, no, the 10 drivers start, and then didn't one of them finish in the top 10? No,
Haas? They were all,
no start in the top 10. No, qualify in the top 10. Didn't one of them
Haas?
Yeah, or no?
Hulkenberg was close. I don't think he got in.
So the top 10 didn't affect. The only thing that happened was as they went up from Sandevoort up to it's Beau Rivage, right? Is that what they call it as they go up the hill?
They
made it through turn one. Went up the hill.
They didn't make it much further.
So the rest of the field got through Casino and started. Yeah. And as the rest of the field came trailing up, Perez and Magnussen. It's 50-50. That's all I'm looking at. Magnussen went up the inside. Perez might have moved over. Not sure. They got together. And then Hulkenberg got collected for no... Yeah. He just got collected. Perez's car, went into a billion pieces. Fortunately, it's okay.
As it should.
As it should.
To clarify. It looks like a horrendous accident, but that's actually a really good accident.
It was a horrendous accident because if you watch the video from where the photographers were.
Yes.
Woof.
No. Right.
Oof.
But the car did its job of how it was supposed to fail.
I guess one photographer got hurt.
Yeah, even no one,
he got hurt, went to the hospital, they stitched him up. He's fine. Everyone's if you see that video, that'll just tell you how fast they were really going. Mm-hmm. So, doesn't look like they're going fast there, but they were. At the same time, Sainz had damage from a contretemps with
he brushed Piastri.
Piastri. So his left front.
Yeah.
Or right front.
Left front.
Left front. Deflated. Mm-hmm. He parked the car in Casino Square just as the yellow came out. Mm-hmm. And then prior to the red flag coming out. And then the red flag came out. So now it's like you're thinking, oh, well, he's got to go to the back of the field because he's mm-hmm. first car, like next car available, you know, whatever. They fix it and they can run. Nope. Unfortunately, Guanyu Zhou, not his fault. He was coming up behind this whole mess, so he had to pick his way through the carnage. But as he was coming up, the safety car, because Perez's car had gone into a million pieces, went blowing by him on the right because they don't care. And Joe's crew had told him, hey, safety car's coming through, big accident. And so they threw the red flag. Well, they threw the red flag before he cleared the first timing strip. Mm-hmm. So because all the cars running did not clear the timing strip. By the time the red flag came out, reorder gets reshuffled. Everyone goes back to their positions. Simple as that. That's all it is. That's the rule. Needs to be looked at. I agree. But that's the current rules.
Yeah, sure.
And then the other rule that needs to be looked at is the work on the cars during a red flag.
Right, yeah.
Okay? Every other series, it's a no-no. So.
No.
Anyway, so from that point on, that red flag, that essentially became the pit stop. Everyone switched tires, and it was like a historic form. Well, it wasn't even a historic car race because the historics put on more passes than what went on. So it was just absolutely brutal.
It's not interesting, but I mean, again, how interesting do you want Monaco to be? Because historically, it's not.
Well, it depends.
On a Sunday.
It depends. Like, in the current era, it is not exciting.
No.
Unless it rains.
Unless it rains, somebody messes up in the pit lane, actually makes an error on track.
But the problem is, the cars are A, so wide.
Yeah.
Okay, B, the track, there is no place for them to go.
No.
There's been a lot of conjecture. Now, post this, the last couple of races have been abominations there. I mean, they've just been terrible. Outside of qualifying's awesome because mm-hmm. it's a shootout. But, I mean, it would be even better. It would be much better if it was a one-car, single-car shootout. Mm-hmm. Because somebody's going to get hurt with these cars packing up and stopping and stuff, you know? Down at Tabac.
Do single car qualifying rather than group qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the guys are really, you'd see the guy really nestling it up against mm-hmm. the, or maybe not nestling it up against. So, maybe you don't take a risk, but then maybe it still tightens the field up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just my thought on that. But there's been some talk now that in the Principality, there is another route that they can go. So when they go down into, they come out of the Casino Square and then you go into the hairpin and then they go around the hotel and then onto the marina there is an ability to take the course straight down some road down there. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I think it's either up through Casino Square or it's down just as you come down. So you bypass the hairpin, you can go straight out, and they would go to another hairpin and come back. Mm-hmm. Then what they wanted, they talked about doing, is take out that stupid chicane at the bottom of the hill when they come out of the tunnel, because mm-hmm. that thing slows everything up. That slows everything up. No one can pass.
So what's their replacement for that?
Straight on, down to the pool.
Really?
Well, it's how it used to be.
No, I'm...
That chicane came in because guys went flying into the water there. I don't think guys are going to go flying in the water there. Well, but the closest car that came going in the water was Connor Daly in a Formula 3 race, all right?
I mean, I get that, but if you
leave the track the way it is and take out that chicane, they're not. I mean, they'll be going fast, but it's fine. But they got to do something. They got to open up a passing zone somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you. The cars should be made smaller.
Yes, because F2, F3, and Porsche Cup Series were there this weekend.
Yeah, but even if you go back to the historics there, the historics pass cars there.
But the current support series of modern day
put on better races. Yeah,
the current F1 car has outgrown the track.
Well, the track has outgrown the car, or is not. I mean, the track hasn't kept up with the car. It's
yeah.
You know. Anyway, so it's not going to get solved here, but so we need to kind of look at that.
Oh, I see now. I'm looking at a map of where this hairpin would be.
Where does it go from Casino Square?
So basically.
Or do they go down the hill and then straight instead of taking the left to go to the hairpin?
I don't want to click on that. Come on. So they go around Casino, and then the access or the runoff road, mm-hmm. you would. Whoops. No. Never mind. So they would go. Okay. Where the drainage is. You know where they move to the right and then come back?
Going down the hill?
When they come around Casino.
And then go down the hill?
Yeah. Then
what would they do? Shoot off to the right there?
They go to the left. And then it just wraps
around to the backside.
Yeah, pretty much. And then eventually, would it be that one? Anyways, you turn left and then make a right, and then you shoot
way down,
like, pretty far down.
Yeah, you're still in the principality. You're just steering a part of the principality we've never been in.
Yes, and then eventually you hit this rotary turn, and then make a hairpin out of that. Come back. When you come back, it's you would come out where it's right before the tunnel.
Yeah.
But you would just be coming from the left there.
There's the gate there. They call it the gate.
So you would come through from that.
It's the gate of the principality
It's
doable.
Wait a minute. Maybe that's not. It would need some work.
It needs some work, but it's a thought. It's a thought people have put out there. So
maybe you go further down?
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, it might have to be further down.
Ugh. Yeah.
Stuff gets tight. That's the problem.
So, so we had Charles, Lando, and Carlos as mm-hmm. our podium. Tightens up the driver standings. Max now has a 31-point lead over Charles. Lando is third now. Sainz is fourth. And Perez is fifth. And he's fifth by a comfortable margin, but he needs to get going. From the constructor's side, this is where it gets interesting. Red Bull, 276. Ferrari now at 252. And we will thank Checo for that.
Mm-hmm.
For the gap closure. McLaren third double the points on Mercedes, and they are up by 50 points on Aston Martin. So there we go.
Okay. The one thing I do want to bring up. Hold on. I want to make sure I get this right, because I thought I saw this earlier today. Okay. All right. So the So the stat that I saw is it's Ferrari is closer to Red Bull now than it was in 2022 at the same time in the constructors championship, yep. Not the drivers championship, right. But in the constructors championship it's closer. So I just want to point that out. So now it's not necessarily the point I'm trying to get at is we're now 8 races into the season, a third of the way through. And it's closer than it was than we have thought that the season was going to go.
There's been some epic failures on Perez's side of the fence.
Yes. As far as a driver's championship point, the Leclerc was only 9 points back at this point 2 years ago. And now it's, what, 31?
Yeah, 31.
So, I mean, it's still...
Max got a cushion right now.
He's got a cushion, but with the latest developments McLaren has made, I'm not so certain it's a lock.
Now you have, because of the cost cap and this colossal wreck that happened,
they're looking
at it's a 2 to 3 million euro wreck on that car. So now it's like, okay, so we got to fix the car. And we got to sacrifice upgrades.
Yeah, he's killing.
He's seriously killing him, because there was no reason for him to be starting that far back. So he's just killing him. All right.
Yep.
Okay. So we're on to Canada next. Be there in 2 weeks. That'll be fun.
Maybe Aston Martin will get a win.
Or maybe Red Bull.
Most likely. Red Bull.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Who? Well, it's hard to say because McLaren at this time last year.
Here's the other thing.
Stunk.
Here's the other thing.
So,
it always rains there.
Oh no, the race is another
2 weeks
out.
Yeah. So anyways,
I can't look up the weather.
All right, let's move on to Indy. Congrats to Joseph Newgarden for the repeat, doubling up.
I thought he drove a great race.
I don't think the race was great, but I thought he drove a calculated race. Kept himself out of trouble in the early part of the race and positioned himself well for the finish. The McLaren guys, both Award and Rossi, same thing. Once again, Ganassi makes something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And they get a third and a fifth. And they vault to the 1-2 in the point standings. So, I know they didn't win the race, but from where that was going up until they, you know, once again, it was all strategy on Ganassi's side of the fence.
And at one point, if the way Rossi and Dixon were mixing it up, I don't know if Dixon wanted to be more aggressive or whatnot, but
I think Dixon wanted to lay back. That's what his thing was.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there was definitely.
And I get what Rossi and Award were doing, but basically they were playing, you know, they were basically leapfrogging each other, but kind of saving fuel at the same time by doing that, which is fine. Problem was that Newgarden was kind of back there doing the same thing with Dixon, but he had a stronger motor. So that was going to enable him to get up there.
But the way those three cars were running, it didn't matter who was going to be out at front, because whoever was going to be in second was going to catch him.
Yeah.
So no one was that far ahead enough that they could run away with it.
As the race kind of dwindled down to the final few laps, and it sort of became Award versus Newgarden. I mean, if I could have put a bet on who was going to win the last 10 laps, you know, outright, I would have put it on Newgarden. He's just that much more of a race crafter than Award is. Award just relies on just, you know, foot in it all the way around. I don't think
I wouldn't say that. Well, I do because there's times
he gets the car where Newgarden's smooth. He's got the car all over the place. So when you start sliding the car around it adds up, Christian.
No, you don't win the race.
That's what happens.
I get that, but he in the last 3-4 laps. He was in the right position at the right time.
He was in the right position, but he just got beat by a guy who knows how to race.
And he, going on the second lap to go, going into three or one, Award backed off because he knew that he felt the timing wasn't right there.
Yeah.
So he clearly had some kind of a plan or strategy to go with. But unfortunately, Newgarden just caught him back and made the move around the outside.
I just think that's just Newgarden knowing where to be. And that's the guys that win this multiple times, that's what they do. They know where to be. None of them, I don't think anybody that's won the race more than once has won it by luck, you know, the second few times. They all know how to race and all know how to survive to get there. Al Unser Sr., he won four times.
Honestly,
in his whole career, I would say once he dominated, and that was probably in 1970 when he was running the Johnny Lightning car. That car was quick. All his other races were all due to strategy.
There was one point where Castro Neves was making a pretty
He was making a good charge.
And then I think cautions just caught him.
Yeah, he got
set him back.
He got set back. A couple other guys, Connor Daly and
Stingray Rob.
They went to the alternate strategy. It paid out for them for quite a while until I think we got to the last stop. Now I agree with
it was one of the earlier cautions right before because at that point
Daly pitted with both McLaughlin and Newgarden. He made his last stop when they pitted. He pitted. That was the right strategy because all you're going to do is there's three Chevys pitting. So you're gonna draft with the other two Chevys to the front. That's what the plan was.
No, I get that, but they fell back during one of the cautions.
They fell back because that's the way the strategy went. But Daly was able to get himself back up every time. Rob wasn't able to get him back up.
No. Daly had the car to move up.
He had the car to move up, but they also made a wing change on the car on the last stop, and that kind of killed them a little bit.
Yeah.
And they should have just left it where it was because he was fine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do?
You don't touch the car.
It's hindsight 2020.
It wasn't him. It was the crew. It's like, don't touch it. The thing's running.
You win and lose it as a team.
Yeah, but the last thing you want to do is touch the car at that point.
Also, none of these guys had run those cars at that time of day either.
I understand that. But the car was quick all day. He was capable of staying with McLaughlin and Newgarden. McLaughlin and Newgarden did nothing to their car. They changed the wing on... They changed the front wing on his car. They did a crank, and it slowed him up enough that he fell from 5th to 10th. Mm. I'm just saying, like, if you watch the race, you see what they did, and it's like, why did you touch it?
Like, there had to have been enough data telling them that they wanted to make
enough
it.
Enough data. Just the driver said no change, and they still changed it.
When did Daly say that?
When they pitted. They talked about it afterwards. When they went back down to Kevin Lee and those guys down in the pits, they said they made a wing change to
Daly. No, I get that.
Oh, actually, at that point, I apologize. I don't know if it was on NBC, because I was listening to it on the radio, and the radio guys caught it. Okay. So they were more awake than the NBC guys. Which is true.
I mean, on NBC,
you probably missed half the pit stops. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
But they made the right call to pit when Newgarden and McLaughlin pit.
Yes.
Because at that point, you're pitting with those two, follow them. Who cares? You're not trying to beat them out. You just want to follow them. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to go push into the front. And Daly is just as talented as Newgarden. He raced with Newgarden.
Yes.
And he's just as talented as McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
The car, totally different from being set up like, because it's a one-off car, but I mean, it's still, they do a great job prepping those cars.
I was going to say that.
Because both him and Ray were in the mix, and then Ray made them.
Ray's a different team, though.
No, it's Dreyer Reinbold. They're both Dreyer Reinbold.
Stingray Rob?
No, Stingray Rob is on AJ Foyt.
Oh, Hunter Ray.
Yeah, Hunter Ray.
Hunter Ray.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this Ray and Ray. Sorry. No, Stingray. The kid just ran out of race talent. That's all he did.
Yeah.
That's all. He's nothing to be ashamed of.
I wouldn't say talent. I think it was just lack of experience. Being in that position.
That'd be a good point. Good for the Foyt team. I mean, they finished Rob finished 16th, and then Ferrucci 8th. So
yeah.
Good there. Another good drive from, I mean, here's somebody else. Callum Ilott.
Yeah.
11th. Great run.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kirkwood, the Lone Star for Andretti. And Rasmussen and Lingard were 12th and 13th. Rinus was 9th. And Takuma was 14th. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, good to see those guys. And then we had Carpenter followed by Larson. And Larson, what killed him was he made the pit lane.
Yeah.
But a couple of years ago, Scott Dixon did the same thing. What are you going to do?
Pit lane speeding.
Yep.
That's what kind,
yep.
kind of, yeah.
So, nothing you can do there.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, thought, like I said, thought the race was good. You know, kind of wish they kind of give some thought to, you know, let's, you know, build some flexibility in here, because that was, you know, anyways, mm-hmm. about the weather and stuff. You know.
Because the other thought that I had was, even if they postponed it to Monday.
Yeah. The weather was fine.
But there was, for Larson's sake, there was no guarantee. Like, you, like say NASCAR also postponed to Monday. There's no guarantee that the race would have been at night.
No, because once the race go with NASCAR and IndyCar, no matter what, once the race goes halfway.
I'm just saying, like, if they decided to postpone the race off.
I think they too would have talked.
Okay.
That's my opinion. They probably would have talked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thought, when NASCAR, what they try and do is they run that race early in the, like, mid-morning
yes.
type race.
Yeah.
I think you probably wouldn't have seen that. You probably would have saw it got pushed to late in the day.
Mm.
The IndyCar race probably would have went off at 11 o'clock
yeah.
versus whenever
mm-hmm.
if it went Monday. I think there just needs to be better. Hanging around for 4 hours, you know, to get a race in, and part of the reason they were trying to get the race in was because they had Larson. You know, if Larson bailed,
yeah,
no one was going to watch that race.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to see what the ratings were going to be. I mean, and besides the folks that were in the infield for the party, I'm curious how many people might have stuck around at that point.
Yeah.
Or even showed up, because I the good chunk of that was due to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, which is great. So, kind of looking at the points, as we go to our next race, which is this weekend?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Detroit. Wow. That's the IMSA race too there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the one. I'm curious about that. Anyways, we'll get to that in a second. So we got Pelot,
Dixon.
20 points on Dixon. Will Power, even with a bad finish.
I was gonna say.
He's still in third at 157. He's six behind Dixon. Then we got Pato, who's 23 behind Will, and he and Colton are tied, but I think Pato has it on the tiebreaker, which is wins.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, and Pato can thank Newgarden for that.
Yeah.
And then we have Scotty Mack, three behind. Newgarden's now 12 behind, and Rossi's 14 behind. And then rounding out the top 10, it's Rosenquist and Kirkwood.
Okay.
All right, so on to Detroit. Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan favorite of this track. But anyways.
Mm. Belle Isle, yes.
Belle Isle, yes. Not downtown.
New downtown.
Yeah, and we'll see how the IMSA race goes off over there. Not so sure.
Yeah. That'll be interesting for sure.
Prototypes and...
Sorry, GTP and GTD Pro.
Pro.
But the same thing that happened at Long Beach with the... where they ran GTP and GTD. And had some pro teams come to join.
They're doing the same thing,
but other way around.
Because Monte Calvo and Parker Thompson are running in the pro class.
Mm-hmm.
Good on Frankie stepping up. They could have put somebody else in there, but good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Frankie, I like Frankie. He does all right. All right. Shall we move on to news and notes? Breaking news today. Stuart Haas, NASCAR, done at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I think a couple things here. I think, first off, I think Tony's pretty much had his fill of NASCAR ownership. I think he's enjoying his time over in NHRA.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably wants to get back to his, like, he still owns Eldora. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to kind of get back to running sprint car teams, owning that. He likes that. I think Gene's pretty much done with that. I mean, so they can cash out, get their money from selling the charters. So that puts four drivers in a lurch. I mean, really, only one outside of Chase Briscoe. I mean, it's Josh Berry, Noah Gagson, and Ryan Preece. I'm like,
I thought I saw somewhere that they have some sort of rides figured out.
Briscoe supposedly is going to the Wood Brothers. That's the one I think I've seen. I haven't seen the other two, the other ones. Also there is the Xfinity cars of Cole Custer and Riley Herbst too. So, the charters though, that's the big thing. It's not, it has nothing. I mean, granted Briscoe's available, but Hunter Nemechek's not coming back, so that's fine. There's no loss there. Briscoe's a step up. So the charters are going right now. This is everybody's reporting this. So it's going Front Row with one, 23XI with one, and Trackhouse with one. That now puts Van Gisbergen in play for next season because that'll be his ride.
Yeah.
the other charter, no one knows right now where it's going. It's kind of up for grabs. So see what happens. Gene is also 71 years old. If we go down the rabbit hole a little bit more, things starting to come, at least in our world, in the Red Mist speculation world, kind of understanding maybe why Gunther left. Because maybe he saw this coming and, you know, he approached them about wanting to take on the ownership of the team. Gene said no. He's probably going to sell it
of the
Formula One team.
Yeah.
He probably wants to sell it to the highest bidder. He didn't want to do like an internal sale to Gunther, you know, that thing. Now after this weekend of a dual car crash, that's going to lay in some money right there. Does this open the door for a sale? And on top of that, all of a sudden today, the FIA president comes out and says that Andretti should go and buy a team. Well, that comes out. Stuart Haas sells their NASCAR team. Something has to be going on behind the scenes. Also, I'm going to go down this road too, because this is starting to percolate now that Ferrari is no longer interested in Newey. Because if you look at it, they've progressed. Do you really need to shell the money out to get Adrian? You know, and you're going to have to accommodate him because he's not going to go and live there 24/7. All right. That's just not happening. So, of course, you know, Mercedes back in play. I don't see Adrian and Toto really getting along, because I'll be honest with you. I think part of the reason Adrian's leaving Red Bull is a little bit of the Helmut and Christian thing. So I think he wants to be, and I hate to say this, like a nurturing environment, but he wants to be in a team environment.
Less drama.
Okay. So makes sense, Williams. I can see that. Aston Martin, right near his home, but
drama filled.
You got Big Daddy Stroll like butting in every 5 minutes.
Well, okay. You say he's butting in every 5 minutes, but I have seen reports of where he is kind of hands off. He's just very results driven. He'll step in and make a change that way. So he might be more hands off than we think he is. So continuing down the rabbit hole.
So say Haas sells.
Yeah.
Pat Simmons went to Andretti.
That came out of left field.
Pat Simmons was at Williams.
Yeah.
Pat Simmons worked with Adrian Newey.
Yeah.
Mario Andretti worked with Adrian Newey, competed against Adrian Newey, and then when they switched from Lola to the Renards of March is, you know, he worked with them. Michael, Adrian was Michael's race engineer. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you're going to just go out with a bang.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to throw whatever they're going to throw at it. It's like, Adrian, you can stay at home, build a workshop at home, and do the whole thing. They don't care. And it's literally right around the corner from them. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 2 years to get the team up and running, even if they buy Haas, right? Right. They can't just all of a sudden change the engine thing. They're going to have to go out the lease with Ferrari that lease runs out. Or, we'll get to it, Alpine. It's still, it could be in play. Mm. I'm just saying. Imagine if that happened, though.
I mean, the other thing, too, is...
It's highly unlikely. I don't think he's going to end up there. I think it'd probably be Williams, but... the problem there is, like, Vowles is not the owner, you know?
No.
It's Dorlton. I keep saying Dorcott like the old Indy Lights team, but no, it's Dorlton Hedge Fund or Capital. Granted, yeah, the people behind Andretti, but there's a face at Andretti.
Right.
Like, Haas is the face of... I mean, I'm sure Gene isn't... I'm sure there's some money behind Gene, too, with this, you know, some hedge funds or something, but I don't think it's the... you know, a lot of it's Gene. He can afford it. I don't know. I have to think. I think Alpine is at the point now, like... After this week, this was another weekend. Now there's rumors flying that Ocon is going to be out as of Canada. He's gone. And they're going to put Mick in the car.
Yeah. Which,
I don't know about that. I'd probably go Jack Doohan. That's just my opinion. At that point, what do you got to lose?
The rumors to me didn't really make sense because I don't think I've really seen anything alluding to why. Both drivers should be losing their ride.
Talking to Ocon and Gasly.
Yeah, aside from this incident, I get that.
With Ocon, there's been several incidents, both on track and off track stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with Toto being Toto's boy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the other problem is if Mick comes in, Mick's one of Toto's boys.
Right.
You know, it's like, do you really want to go that route or do you want to just go with Dylan, who isn't?
Something that's been irrelevant for the past several years is the Alpine Young Driver Academy, because they have failed to
bring anybody
promote
up.
Anyone, and when they did the last time it was Piastri,
right?
And that
and they goofed on the contract.
Yeah. So, and I shouldn't even say that. Like, if you want to go further back, they passed up Joe. Initially, because then they brought in Alonso,
right.
Which I get it. You can't really fault them for that move.
Yeah.
At that point, that began to raise concerns of why do you even have a young driver program
now,
in the first
place. Let's just say they sell the team. Say they sell it. Andretti buys it. Okay. Now,
Andretti buys Alpine.
Just the cars. Yeah, yeah. All right. So Alpine says, okay, fine. You guys can run the motors until, you know, GM comes in. Because that's what they were going to run anyways. Yeah. Okay. So say they run that. If the good thing with them is, meaning Alpine, I mean for Andretti, is both drivers are gone. Gasly's gone and Ocon's gone. They're both out, all right? Because I don't think Michael's going to keep Ocon around. I don't think he would keep him. I think he'd keep Gasly, but I think Gasly wants out of there because I don't think Gasly thinks it's going anywhere. God only knows where he thinks he's going.
I know.
All right? If you're Michael, you're like, well, they got a hot rookie in Doohan. Mm-hmm. Can we find somebody else in the driver market? What if, you know, this all comes together and they swoop in, they take signs? What if, how about this?
Yeah.
What if Haas goes, right? Say Haas sells. Mm-hmm. Carlos is still out there. They're all coming to him, okay? So say Andretti buys them.
Yeah.
Say they lock up Newey.
Right.
Now you got Berman
and you can go, we're going to sign Carlos. So effectively, now you've become a Ferrari Junior team. Now, the Andretti's do have ties to Ferrari because Mario drove for Ferrari for, like, he was one of Enzo's, like, favorite fill-in slash he wanted him to drive all the time, but Mario was too – the reason Mario didn't end up driving for him all the time because Mario's Italian. He knows how it works. You know?
Yeah.
But he picked his places, and the old man loved them.
And you're saying if they buy Haas and go that route.
Yeah, you could say buy Haas. Carlos is on the market.
Yeah.
Poof, go in and get him, mm-hmm. right? And what if the selling point to Carlos is, well, we're taking – Adrian's going to sign with us.
Yeah.
And Adrian's going to develop the car for 2 years out. And they're going to keep what's his name? The guy's designed the car now, the team manager.
Oh, the Japanese guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can leave him in place mm-hmm. and you just take, you can all the management, you know, you just, you know, you put your own person in. Mm-hmm. Simmons is in. Like, what happens there? I mean, why can't that happen?
Okay. Well, then I guess at that point, the crappy thing for Carlos is he's out of a top level drive.
Right.
So which of the prospective smaller teams look like they can make the biggest jump?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could say Williams.
Yeah, I mean,
but Williams is like, the car is a one trick pony.
At this point, it's Williams, Audi, or Andretti.
Yeah,
if you're looking at it that way.
Or
and which one has the best selling point package?
I don't think so. I don't like Mercedes. It's Russell and it's one seat, and it's they're clearly enamored with Antonelli.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to go that route. That's where I think that's going to go. I mean, if I'm Andretti and I buy Haas, I'm picking up the option on Berman.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Okay. Yeah. The question is, can I put someone in there that is, you know, to run with him, not to mentor him, but can work with, well, Carlos kind of worked with Lando, you know? You know, that from that perspective, I mean, that could work. I'm just kind of throwing it out because, you know, say they go that route, they buy the team, the infrastructure goes right there, like the money for the, you know, yeah, you're probably going to pay a premium, but that's just cash and that goes into it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you're not worrying about you just focus on building the car 2 years out. You take what they got and say, okay, what can we cobble together for the next 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And put, you know, X number of dollars into that. You know, whatever Gene was doing plus whatever, you know, 2X or what, you know, and see what happens. I'm just kind of just, there's a lot going on out there and, you know, it's just weird. Things all of a sudden today, like Ben Salam is, oh, they should go buy the team. And then Haas is selling the NASCAR team. Like, what? So is something going on behind the scenes? And did something go on behind the scenes that caused Andretti to go get Simmons?
Yeah.
Meaning, did Gene reach out to him? Or did Alpine reach out to him and say, look, we're done?
Yeah.
Because they're not, those things don't, like, when they get to mid-season's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the things start to shake out. So, you know, if you're a team, I don't think you want to say you're going to sell until the end of the season because because guys will start on the team will be like, screw it, you know, I might be out of here, so I might leave. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that. You know, what you want to do is you get to the end of the season ends, you call everyone in and say, no one's going anywhere. There's going to be a shift in the management offices, but the rest of you guys are here. So that's what you want. You don't want to just say, yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Because then guys are going to start jumping looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it looks like if Andretti wants in, no question about that.
Yep.
But it seems like they've been left on the outside, and someone hasn't been giving them just like not. They don't need to give them hope of getting a team, but they do need to like clue them in so this PR stunt that both sides are pulling doesn't look so ridiculous and out of shape.
I have to think that's what's going on now.
So
somebody's behind, they're tipping them behind the scenes saying this is what the look. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Gene's 71.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he does not have,
he does not have the wherewithal of a Roger Penske or a Rick Hendrick, who are in, I believe, Roger's in his late 80s.
Floyd.
Hendrick. Nah, yeah, but Floyd's kind of, it's more, it's more Floyd's son. AJ comes to the races, but it's more Floyd's son. I'm really just focusing on big teams. I mean, Gene likes racing. Mm-hmm. It helps sell his stuff, but, you know, at some point, yeah, it's like, eh. And this is my thing with this team. I never, like, I didn't, you know, I kind of viewed it. It's not like Penske coming in. When Penske comes in, it's, or I even, like, this is, I don't think Chip would ever, Chip's a racer, but mm-hmm. but Chip saw the signs on the wall with NASCAR. And he's like, eh, this isn't going anywhere. Okay, Chip's not that dumb, you know. He's not going to lose all his money. So it's like, okay, I'm going to make a change. And he sold the track house. Mm-hmm. You know, the IndyCar team does its thing. Now he's, you know, got the sports car program. Well, what could be going on in the sports car program? We don't know. Chip's right. always got something going on. So yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. But I just don't see Gene in the Penske-Hendrick thing, you know, where Hendrick's got this whole infrastructure underneath him, which is like Chad Knaus and all those guys. Mm-hmm. Penske's got Tim Cindric and everybody else that's underneath them. They got the guys that run the, you know, everything. Yeah. So, I mean, Roger just, sometimes with the racing stuff, he's just, I'm not trying to, it's, he's a figurehead, is what he is. Behind the scenes, he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that he is, you know, but that's him. But Gene, he's not on Roger's level.
No. No.
You have to be, when you're in F1 and you're going to do this, you got to be fully motivated to do it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, this Haas and Williams, like, it's, you know, those are the last two kind of single person teams. You know, Williams was from the Williams family, mm-hmm. but it's not anymore. No. And you're seeing what happened. You know, they just sort of ran out of resources and they forced the sale. But yeah. With Go Gene, on. It's like the team's still there and it's all functioning. But, you know, it's like at some point, Gene's got to put more money into it, you know?
And Sauber's on its way out.
It's going to be Audi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Peter Sauber. Right.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, and that guy's been in and out of mm-hmm. in and out of Formula One. So I mean, you know, when sold to BMW, then he came back and BMW. Mm-hmm. You know, he's God love him, but
yeah.
So I have to, you know, starting to think like something's going on here.
Yeah.
It would be fun. It would be if he went well, to if Newey went to Andretti, I'd friggin' lose my mind. It would be the most hilarious thing.
So Andretti would. I'm just trying to figure out this like theoretical Ferrari B team.
They would be the B team until the the contract runs like with them. I don't know how long the engine contract runs with Haas. It's probably till the new spec, and then they were going to re up at some point.
Yeah, because.
But there'll be some team up there.
Because I don't think Andretti would want to bring GM into this whole conversation and drag him through all this.
They're not coming. They won't come in until 2028.
No. I get that. But that's what I'm asking. Like, would they just keep the Ferrari engines until 28?
Yeah. That way, the same thing with the Alpine. That's what they were going to do. They were going to come in. If they came in, they were going to have the Alpine motors. So say they go to Haas. So say the Alpine deal is still on the table. Mm-hmm. Ferrari says, no way, we don't want to give you the money. Okay, fine. Then you go, Alpine says, yeah, we'll give you the motors. Now they got two teams around the motors. So they do that. I don't know. I mean, it's just like you said, there's like all this stuff starts moving around and you just sort of, you know, it's like you're throwing them up on a wall and it's just like, you know, it's like, does this make sense or does this make sense? I mean, all these rumors now about Newey just not going to Ferrari I get it. Maybe Fred has put it in, you know, Fred's got it going, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, Fred probably does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a dummy.
The only thing with Haas is, or if Andretti buys Haas, then you run Ferrari Motors for two, three years. After that, you'd bring in GM. And the other thing, too, is Ford, assuming they come in when they do, which will be next year.
No, it's or, 26.
I'm sorry, 26. So when they come into 26, they'll have two teams that would have Ford Red Bull engines. And then, but then in come 28, Ferrari would only be supplying their team.
Yeah. They don't have to supply.
No, I know, I know, but
I'm just saying it's.
I mean, Mercedes is still supplying.
What if Zach, three teams? What if Zach goes to Ferrari and says, "Can we do McLaren Ferrari?" Or Williams goes and says, "Can we do Williams Ferrari?" Who's to say they can't?
Williams Ferrari, I would see more like.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, again, it's just, you know, it does not. You know.
No. Yeah.
But again, if they're going to get hamstrung on these engine allocations, then put more teams in.
Actually, I shouldn't even say that. Maybe Toro Rosso goes Ferrari.
Yeah.
Goes back to Ferrari.
Maybe Toro Rosso gets sold to Andretti. Who knows? I mean, you know, that whole thing there. There's definitely, you know, I mean, Haas and Alpine sound like the two teams that are in play.
Today.
Today. Until, you know, whatever. But I really, if Nui ends up, I'll just laugh my
Andretti
rear end.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh my god! You just see Adrian just marching around with his little notebook, going, "Yeah, you know, it is what it is."
I want to circle back on F1 Monaco just for 1 second. Williams did score two points, with Alex Albon.
Yep.
So props to him, because even last week I was questioning where were they going to score the points, and look at that. They scored points at Monaco.
All right. That
just leaves Sauber without any points, along with Sargent.
Do we have our picks to click review?
Yes, we do.
Did our compadre put picks in for next week's IndyCar race?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
All right, so let's do IndyCar Detroit picks first.
That's the only thing we got to do.
Yeah. So Nate went with Will Power. Ugh. And his dark horse is going to be Rosenquist.
Okay. I'm going to go Pelot.
Okay.
And Dark Horse is going to be... Is Rasmussen in? Is he doing the full season?
I think so.
Or Lynn. Who's that rail? Lindquist?
No. Linus is at Ganassi.
Linus said, oh, I'm going to go Linus.
Okay.
I'm going to go two Ganassi guys.
Okay. I want to go with McLaughlin.
Redemption Tour?
Yeah. Just because, like...
That's fine.
You're coming off that high, like, might as well. Dark Horse. No, I'm not gonna go Porsche here.
That's too much of a dark horse.
That's the only problem with that. I will say Ferrucci.
Why not? Ah, there you go.
So, review on last week's picks. Indy 500. I think I got the best average out of all that. You had the highest finishing driver, which was Rossi in fourth. But then you also had Herta and Larson. And then...
Nate.
Nate had... do not go to Nate for Indy 500 picks.
Oh, no. I love his mid-race picks.
He had...
out of the blue, Christian Rasmussen. I'm going, what?
That Nate had Sato in 14th, Herta 23rd, and Power 24th. And
his, oh, he and got his, killed by the crashes.
And his dark horse was Larson.
Ugh. So yeah, he did, yeah.
Nate put the kiss of death on everyone.
Yeah.
Your dark horse was Rosenquist.
Yeah, he got taken out.
No, Engine went
poof. Oh, yeah, Engine went poof on. Yeah.
I had, my dark horse was Marco. He got taken out.
And that, well, or no. He took himself out.
That's right.
He tried to go three wide.
Yeah. But my three were Scotty Mack, Ferrucci, and Plo. All top 10.
Good picks. So good picks. Well done.
They were all there, but got jumped. All
right, that's fine.
And then Monaco, Nate and I, me and you, tied with 1.5. I got Piastri correct. You got Carlos correct. We both had Leclerc on the podium, just in the wrong spot.
Yeah, we had him like third.
I had him third. You had him second.
Oh, I had him second. Yeah. Right.
And then Nate had half a point with just Lando on the podium. What do you have,
Magnussen and Hulkenberg or something?
Nate had Hulk for a dark horse. We both had Ricciardo for a dark horse. Oh, yeah. And then the other picks on the podium were Max and Alonso that we all had.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah. Well. Up this weekend is IndyCar at Detroit, IMSA at Detroit.
Nürburgring 24 hours.
That's also true. And I also have a note that MotoGP is this weekend as well.
Oh, MotoGP was last weekend. That was a heck of a race.
Yeah. This weekend they're at Mugello.
They were at Mugello. Oh, yeah. Man. Bagnaia last weekend. Oh, my God. The guy was on fire. I give Mark Marquez credit. Like, those three that finished on the podium there, they were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But as Rich Hemingway says, that is clearly – that's the best racing right now.
MotoGP.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year when we watched the U.S. Grand Prix,
yeah,
I was shocked at the leaders just crashing.
Yeah.
Or falling off the
bike. Well, it's just – I was just like, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, which I was like, there's just so much more randomness involved in it. And it's not saying any of them are bad. Like, they are all – pushing it to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they're all hanging on it. Yeah.
Like, they're genuinely going for it the entire race. Which, I mean, like, IndyCar is too, to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some...
At Indy, more so than other places.
Yeah. I mean, there can be fuel saving and whatnot. And I mean, I'm sure MotoGP can back off and do all
this. Oh, no, but it's awesome. Stuff. And the other thing is, it's a 25-lap race.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a all-out sprint.
Right.
You know, and then congrats to Trackhouse. They put both bikes in the top 10.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was awesome. So, Mugello this weekend. Oh, that'd be good. I'll have to see if I can get in for that.
Oh. Is this right? I'm just looking at the schedule of all the series. And, yeah.
Is it Mugello?
No. It is Mugello for that. But I just noticed that IndyCar.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a triple header.
Because they go to Milwaukee after this, right?
Road America.
Oh, Road America. Yeah. Sorry. When's Milwaukee?
End of the season.
Oh, end of the season. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's in the
and the ovals. It's Labor Day. So weekend. They
go. Oh, that's cool. The only bad thing is, like, I wish they would just go to Watkins Glen.
I know.
That would be.
Yeah, that would be a good addition.
Yeah. That and, add them to the IMSA weekend. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, that's all I got.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.